Live from NPR News in Washington, I'm Windsor Johnston. A judge is expected to decide whether to hold former President Donald Trump in contempt for violating a gag order in his criminal hush money trial that's underway in New York City at this hour. Trump is accused of repeatedly violating the order, which prohibits him from attacking witnesses, jurors, and others involved in the case. The former president is facing 34 felony counts for allegedly falsifying business records to cover up hush money payments made ahead of the 2016 election, including to an adult film star. Protests against the war in Gaza have intensified on college campuses across the country. Students have been arrested at Yale, Columbia, and NYU. NPR's Jasmine Guards reports students at UC Berkeley and the University of Michigan have set up Gaza solidarity encampments.
The students say they want universities to disclose and end investments in weapons technology and Israel. One organizer, Soida, requested her last name be withheld due to fear of retaliation.
This is our tuition dollars that are going to the death and displacement through both fast and slow violence in Gaza through the genocide right now and the slower displacement throughout occupied Palestine.
As graduation approaches, students say they are committed to continuing the protests. At a congressional hearing last week, Columbia President Manoush Shafiq condemned anti-Semitism. The organization Jewish Voices for Peace says at Columbia, more than a dozen of the students suspended for protesting are Jewish themselves. Jasmine Garst, NPR News, New York.
The Senate is on track to pass a $95 billion foreign aid package this week. The legislation contains assistance for Ukraine, Israel, and Taiwan. NPR's Barbara Sprunt reports the expected vote comes 6 months after President Biden first requested the additional aid.
Over the weekend, the House passed a $95 billion supplemental spending measure providing aid for Israel, Ukraine, and Taiwan. The package includes a measure that would authorize the seizure of billions in frozen Russian assets and would force the divesting of TikTok from its Chinese parent company or face a ban in the U.S. The measures passed with bipartisan support. It now goes to the Senate, replacing an earlier package in the chamber that passed several months ago. Barbara Sprunt, NPR News, Washington.
The city of Baltimore is taking legal action against the company that owns the cargo ship which crashed into the Francis Scott Key Bridge last month. A court filing accuses the owner of the ship of negligence, claiming the vessel was not fit to travel. This is NPR News in Washington. Big manufacturers are reporting earnings this week. NPR's Scott Horsley reports on how some of America's best-known brands are faring.
Stock in General Motors is up after the automaker reported better-than-expected profits for the most recent quarter. GM's getting a boost from strong sales of its high-priced pickup trucks. Pepsi beat sales forecasts for the most recent quarter thanks to strong demand in Asia and Europe. Pepsi's North American sales suffered from a recall in its Quaker Oats division. Pepsi continues to raise prices around the world, though not as rapidly as it did last year. Scott Horsley, NPR News.
Same-sex weddings and LGBTQ clergy are on the agenda as the United Methodist Church opens its general conference today in Charlotte, North Carolina. NPR's Jason DeRose reports.
The United Methodist Book of Discipline, the church's rulebook, says, quote, the practice of homosexuality is incompatible with Christian teaching. It also prohibits clergy from performing same-sex weddings and says the church does not ordain LGBTQ clergy. The General Conference, which includes United Methodists from around the world, could do a variety of things with that language. It could leave it as is. It could remove it, or it could remove the more negative language and add affirming language. One middle path option is for regional geographic conferences to decide for themselves and not have a unified policy across the whole church, which is the second largest Protestant denomination in the U.S. Jason DeRose, NPR News.
On Wall Street, the Dow was up 204 points. I'm Windsor Johnston, NPR News in Washington.
Support for NPR comes from BetterHelp, committed to supporting mental health through therapy and helping clients find balance. Clients are matched with one of 35,000 therapists for online therapy from anywhere at betterhelp.com/public.
Good afternoon and welcome to Noon Hour Magazine right here on Allegheny Mountain Radio. This is Heather. 6 minutes after 12 o'clock, lots of sunshine looking out the front door of the Frost Studios. A little warmer, up to 60 degrees. That's a whole lot better than the 26 degrees it was at our house at 6 o'clock this morning. And I appreciate the warmer temperatures, but I've got to tell you, I'm getting a little tired of this shake-and-bake weather. I don't want to see 20 degrees early in the morning in April, but what you going to do? You've got to take what Mother Nature doles out. In our local news today, coming your way, we're going to hear about the floodplain maps in Pocahontas County and some changes and some determinations about that. We're also going to hear another profile of one of our new folks here at Allegheny Mountain Radio. Of course, all last week, our theme for our spring 2024 fundraiser was new voices and new people in Allegheny Mountain Radio land. So we're going to continue that. We didn't get a chance to profile all the people during the week last week, so we're going to continue with that. And today we're going to hear about our morning guy, Heath Chambers, and All Over the Road Radio. We'll have all of our usual noon hour features coming your way. Going to have our town country topics coming your way later on in the hour. Let's get started with local news.
On Thursday, April the 18th, the Pocahontas County Commissioners met with Tim Keaton, the National Flood Insurance Coordinator for West Virginia, Betsy Ransom from FEMA, several representatives of the State Emergency Management Agency, two West Virginia University GIS specialists, and with the county's, Durbin's, and Marlinton's floodplain coordinators to discuss the new FEMA floodplain maps for the county. Keaton explained that FEMA's new flood maps for Pocahontas County have just been released in preliminary form. He said that for now the maps are just advisory. He said that they can be seen on the West Virginia flood map tool at www.mapwv.gov. They can also be found on the FEMA website, which is www.fema.gov. There is currently a 90-day appeal period, then 6 months after that ends, the maps will become official. He said the new maps have been under development for many years and are much more accurate than the old maps were. This is because LIDAR mapping from the aircraft was utilized to determine the exact elevation of the surface of the land. Keaton said the old maps used highway maps containing 20-foot elevation contours, and those were not nearly as accurate as the radar-based LIDAR mapping is. Keaton said the new maps show expanded floodplain and floodway areas in the county. As a result, a much larger portion of Marlinton as well as of other parts of the county are now in a floodplain or floodway. The areas in a floodway are more dangerous than those simply in a floodplain. He said new construction is very restricted in a floodway, while construction in a floodplain, while difficult, is still possible. They said that the owner of a building in a floodplain should purchase national flood insurance. But if there is a mortgage on their structure, the flood insurance is required by most lenders. He also warned that if your home is mortgaged and the new flood maps now place it in a floodplain when it was not there before, your mortgage company will likely require that you purchase flood insurance. Without flood insurance, Keaton explained, if your home is damaged in a flood, you could receive a very limited amount of disaster relief from FEMA, an average of about $4,000. But if it floods a second time, you won't be eligible for any more disaster relief funds. If a structure is covered by flood insurance, there is an average flood damage reimbursement of $19,000 for each flood damage occurrence. They said that the new maps show that about 200 structures in Pocahontas County have been moved into the floodplains and about the same number have been moved out of floodplains. The new maps show that there are about 900 structures in the county that are in floodplains, but only 190 of them are covered by flood insurance. They said that the floodplain/floodway areas in Marlinton and elsewhere in the county have increased in size. Part of the reason for that is the increased accuracy of the flood mapping techniques used, but also because people have illegally elevated their structures by adding fill, which increases the size of the floodplain and the amount of flood damage experienced by other properties in the area. They said FEMA in the near future will be cracking down on these fill-elevated properties that were built up on fill without proper permits. Keaton also said there are flood mitigation grants available to homeowners who wish to legally increase the elevation of their houses by raising them up on piers. The presenters also said that Marlinton is in the top 10% of all flood risk areas in West Virginia. Tim Walker, Allegheny Mountain Radio News.
Allegheny Mountain Radio has a lot of new faces, and we wanted to take a bit of time to introduce you to some. Here's our new morning show host to tell us a little bit about himself.
I'm Heath Chambers. I'm host of the All Over the Road radio show. I do mornings here on Allegheny Mountain Radio. Lived in Highland County here for the past 5 years. Love everything outdoors. Love to hike, bike, run, paddle, anything related to the water. Love to snow ski. Just everything that our area has to offer. I hail from Texas, originally born and raised north of Dallas-Fort Worth, small farm and ranch community, and had an opportunity to move out here to Highland County with my family 5 years ago, and had never lived more than an hour away from my hometown all my life, and honestly, a trip to Costa Rica for a month kind of made me reevaluate priorities, and so this was a way to have some built-in family time because, hey, it was just us out in the woods there for a couple of years. I always tell people that every time Britt and I move, we get more stars. That's been the case since we were newlyweds in Dallas-Fort Worth area, moved to the suburbs, moved to my hometown, which was out in the country. That wasn't enough, so we had to go 10 miles outside of my hometown, and each time, more stars at night. And whenever we moved out here to Highland County, I really questioned whether it would be possible to get any more stars than we have when we look up out here.
I asked him how he got his start in radio, how it feels to get up so early in the morning, and what it feels like to work for such a community-focused organization.
Well, I've sat in with my son Cash quite a few times over the past couple of years. He's had his own show on Allegheny Mountain Radio since he was 14. So it's always been fascinating watching him run the board and do all of the behind-the-scenes stuff. And I've filled in a few times just when folks were out, and things just kind of worked out. So the opportunity came up. I wasn't doing anything at 5 a.m., so I was available. But yeah, it's been a good time. This has really changed my whole day and night scene. I'm a night owl, but no longer. I'm a coffee all day guy. No longer. I'm cutting off my caffeinated coffee at noon these days. I'm drinking decaf, for God's sakes. You know, one thing that makes Allegheny Mountain Radio different from other radio stations is that it really is a community radio station. And due to how rural we are, you know, it's the only news source for some of our residents. Some folks are only getting current events from Allegheny Mountain Radio. So from just community happenings and going on, national news even, and that's the conduit. So that's what makes it a little different and kind of cool. And then all of the volunteer involvement is also really neat. You've got many people who put in hours and hours every week to keep this thing going, just out of the love and support for what they're trying to do here at Allegheny Mountain Radio.
As a volunteer first, I asked Heath what credentials it took to help at the radio station, and if he had a background in radio or broadcast journalism before.
No background. I mean, I've got a BA and BS, and I think that can go a long way. You know, a lot of work and on the fly here. It's live, guys. I mean,
you can hear Heath from 6 a.m. to 10 a.m. every weekday morning here on Allegheny Mountain Radio on the All Over the Road radio show. For AMR News, I'm Brent Chambers.
Support for Allegheny Mountain Radio comes from Mitchell Chevrolet of Marlinton. They have a full line of new and previously owned cars, trucks, and SUVs, service repairs by General Motors trained technicians, and a finance department. Their motto is, if we don't have it, let us find it for you. They are open Monday through Saturday. Their phone number is 304-799-6388 or 1-800-799-6388.
Allegheny Mountain Radio depends on the generous support of listeners who value community radio. We are asking you to invest in the magic of your local radio station today. Your donation can be mailed to 9836 Browns Creek Road, Dunmore, West Virginia, 24934, or made online at AlleghenyMountainRadio.org. Thank you for being part of the magic of Allegheny Mountain Radio.
It is 17 minutes after 12 o'clock, 59 degrees here at the Frost Studios. Sunny skies in our forecast today, highs in the 60s and southwest winds at 10 to 15 miles per hour. Partly to mostly cloudy tonight with a chance of showers after midnight, lows in the 40s to around 50, winds out of the southwest at 15 to 20 miles per hour. A chance of morning showers tomorrow, then mostly sunny with highs in the mid-50s to the mid-60s, variable winds at 10 to 15 miles per hour, mostly clear tomorrow night with lows in the low 30s to around 40, light winds out of the northwest. Mostly sunny on Thursday with highs in the upper 50s to the low 60s with light and variable winds, partly cloudy Thursday night with lows in the upper 30s to the low 40s. Homeschoolers are going to be meeting here very shortly at the Highland County Public Library. That's going on from 12:30 to 2 p.m. today for a migration study and themed activities. It's for students of all ages, but they do ask that a caregiver attend. And a fan favorite for after-schoolers at the Highland County Public Library is coming back this afternoon. The Lego Lounge is back. You can sign up to ride the bus in the Rams Review newsletter or arrive for the fun at 3:20 p.m. Parents, please plan to pick up your child by 4:15 p.m. Today is the deadline to register to vote in the May 14th primary election here in West Virginia. The Highland County Board of Supervisors will have a public hearing this evening, 7:30 p.m., at the Highland Modular Conference Center. That is for the fiscal year 2025 budget. More information is available at highlandcova.org. We have a couple of funeral notices to share with you today. Orville Harless, age 86, of Hillsborough, passed away Sunday, April 14th. A memorial service will be held Saturday, May 11th at 1 p.m. at Trout Baptist Church in Trout, West Virginia. Again, that's Orville Harless of Hillsborough, who passed away April 14th. Online condolences may be shared at lancefuneralhome.com. Deborah Lou Roy, age 68, of Marlinton, passed away Friday, April 19th at the Pocahontas Center in Marlinton. Per her wishes, she will be cremated with no services. Again, that's Deborah Lou Roy of Marlinton, who passed away April 19th. Online condolences may be shared at lancefuneralhome.com.
Daily funeral announcements are brought to you by Oba Funeral Home. With locations in both McDowell and Warm Springs, Virginia, they have served families for over 95 years. Information and online obituaries can be found at obafuneralhome.com. They may be reached at 540-839-3451 for their Bath County location and 540-396-3451 for assistance in Highland County.
Stardate, April 23rd. Immanuel Kant is best known for his ideas about philosophy, from ethics to the nature of knowledge. But he also played a role in the development of an idea about how planets are born. And while many of the details were off, his basic idea was sound. Kant was born 300 years ago this week in the German state of Königsberg, and during his 80 years, he never left it. He enrolled in the University of Königsberg at age 16, but his father died and he was forced to leave the university. He became a tutor for well-to-do families. He was able to return and finish his education in 1755. Kant was interested in just about everything, including science. Soon after completing his degree, he wrote about earthquakes, the weather, and more. One of his early works was Universal Natural History and Theory of the Heavens. In it, he described a nebular hypothesis for the formation of planets. A scientist in Sweden had conceived the idea a couple of decades earlier. Kant developed it further. He wrote that the sun and planets were born from a nebula, a giant spinning cloud of gas and particles. Gravity caused the cloud to flatten, forming a disk. Material in the disk stuck together to make larger and larger chunks, eventually forming planets. Today, scientists have worked out more of the details, but the basic idea remains the same. Kant's hypothesis provides a basic description of how planets are born. Our web address is stardate.org. For the University of Texas at Austin McDonald Observatory, I'm Billy Henry.
Stardate comes to you on these stations with the help of the Green Bank Observatory in Green Bank, West Virginia. GBO is a facility of the National Science Foundation.
This is Bird Note. This eerie sound can be heard in the lowland jungle throughout much of Central and South America. It's the voice of a great tinamou. Secretive, and almost impossible to see. Great tinamous call early and late in the day, and their voices carry a long distance. 47 species of tinamous live in the American tropics. They are chunky birds with strong legs and smallish heads. Their bodies resemble those of a quail or a partridge, but they're not related. Instead, tinamous' closest known relatives are huge, extinct, flightless birds of New Zealand. Their short wings can get them off the ground for brief flights, but mostly, tinamous spend all their time on the ground, where they walk briskly and can even sprint for a short distance. Tinamous eat plants, insects, worms, snails, and small vertebrates like frogs. Males build and defend nests and tend the young, while females roam about and mate with several males. Their eggs are like highly polished jewels, ranging in color from brilliant red to yellow-green, purple, blue-green, and black. But it's that voice that sets it apart. For Bird Note, I'm Mary McCann.
On This Day is presented by the Highland Historical Society. Today is April 23rd. On this day in 1850, Henry Clay Jones and Victoria Armstrong were married by Reverend James M. Clark. Henry was the youngest child of Thomas and Mary Ewitt Jones, and Victoria was a daughter of Jared and Martha Wilson Armstrong. The couple lived in the Cowpasture Valley and raised 6 sons and 5 daughters. Henry served as a county court justice in 1861, and in 1877 was a member of a committee that drafted the regulations to govern the first public schools in Highland. Henry died in 1882 at age 57, and Victoria died in 1906, the day after she was quoted as saying, quote, "I want to go home."
Let's have a quick look at our sports calendar. The Highland Rams and Lady Rams and Bath Chargers and Lady Chargers varsity baseball and JV softball teams playing today, 5 p.m. at Bath County. Let's see. Highland Rams and Lady Rams varsity baseball and JV softball teams will be at Perry McClure on Thursday, or will be playing Perry McClure on Thursday. That's at 5 p.m. at Highland County. Warrior Boys Varsity Baseball versus Tigers Valley Bulldogs Thursday, 6 p.m. at home. And the Warrior Girls Softball will take on the Summers County Lady Bobcats. That's Friday at 5:30 p.m. at home.
From the Farm Credit Studios, this is On the Farm Radio. Rural and agricultural news coming up next.
On the Farm Radio is pleased to promote and support the National FFA organization. Young people involved in agricultural education and leadership today will be our next generation of agriculturalists tomorrow. Contact your local FFA chapter to see how you can support our next generation of farmers and agribusiness leaders. More information at ffa.org.
Well, today's program is made possible in part by a longtime sponsor of On the Farm Radio, and we appreciate their support, FeedWorks USA. They provide specialty feed ingredients for the livestock industry. More information at FeedWorksUSA.com.
You're listening to On the Farm Radio with Jeff Ishii.
In the United States, we are seeing fewer greenhouse emissions from the industry of agriculture. That's according to a new report from the EPA. Let's get the details from Michael Clements.
New data released this month from the Environmental Protection Agency shows agriculture decreased its greenhouse gas emissions in 2022. The EPA recently released the inventory of U.S. greenhouse gas emissions and sinks 1990 to 2022. American Farm Bureau Federation economist Danny Munch explains the results.
Overall, greenhouse gas emissions from all sources increased by 1.3% between 2021 and 2022, though agricultural emissions dropped 1.8%, and that's the largest decrease of any economic sector.
2022 marks the lowest U.S. agricultural greenhouse gas emissions since 2012. The EPA categorizes agricultural emissions by crop cultivation, livestock, and fuel combustion that occurs in the industry.
Crop cultivation emissions were down 6 million metric tons from 2021. When we look at livestock, they were down 2.1% or 6 million metric tons from 2021. Emissions from fuel combustion in ag were down 1 million metric tons or 1.2%.
Learn more on the market intel page at FB.org. Michael Clements, Washington.
You are listening to On the Farm Radio with Jeff Ishii.
Our magnificent trees have helped shape the American spirit. Trees that clear the air and protect the land. Thick pine forest, birch trees, and apples. One tree has been selected by the people to represent all of America's trees. The oak, America's national tree. Go to the Arbor Day Foundation website, arborday.org. Learn which oaks or other great American trees are right for planting where you live. Discover the oak, America's national tree. That's arborday.org.
Today we send out a big old salute to all of our listeners in Kings Mountain, North Carolina. They're tuned in to affiliated radio station Joy FM, FM 100.1 in beautiful Kings Mountain, North Carolina. Our pearl of wisdom today, this one came in by email from listener Ruthie Kibler, who says, "To be loved, be lovable." Makes sense to me. Thank you, Ruthie, for that pearl of wisdom. You're on the farm, and I'm Ish.
Support for Allegheny Mountain Radio comes from the Virginia Education Association. Resources for parents and teachers at veanea.org. Because a good education is good for everybody.
This is Trooper John Carpenter with the Virginia State Police, here with a reminder to take proper precautions and share the road. Highland County and surrounding areas now have an increased number of horse-drawn buggies on our roadways, and these can create special challenges due to their slower speeds and visibility, especially at night. Motorists are urged to be aware of their presence in the area and be cautious when approaching, following, or passing these buggies. Also, try to anticipate their presence, especially in the curves and approaching hills. Take care so everyone can arrive alive.
Now, the latest from VNN, the Virginia News Network.
A Virginia school district is suing a parent after he complained about the school system's failure to help his learning disabled son. The Bedford County School Board sued David Reif in March, asking for $600,000 for harassment, intimidation, and use of vulgar and threatening language. Reif and his attorney contend that the board is trying to bully him into silence after he complained to the Virginia Department of Education. State education officials ruled in late March that the Bedford County school system failed to meet the needs of Reif's son and ordered corrective action by April 29th. No hearing on the school board's lawsuit has been scheduled. A busy bridge in Roanoke will be closed for 2 years.
The Wasina Bridge sees thousands of drivers, but now WSLS reports it's undergoing a major replacement. It'll be demolished with a $50 million replacement to feature sidewalks, bike lanes, new lighting, lookout areas, and more. Replacement of the bridge won't be done until 2026, but there will be detours in place and signs about those detours for those who need to get from one side to the other. During the project, the Roanoke River and Wasina Skate Park will also be off limits. Walking or biking is still permitted on the Roanoke River Greenway. I'm Sarah Bartlett.
The state of Virginia will be getting $156 million from the federal government to help expand rooftop solar and shared solar programs. The Solar for All grant will be distributed over 5 years and will focus on low-income Virginians and communities that are considered underserved. The agency's director says growth in residential solar is needed to increase the amount of clean and affordable energy available in Virginia. Donald Glover is sharing a preview of a collaboration with Kanye West. Over the weekend, Glover, who raps under Childish Gambino, previewed the unnamed track during the second live stream episode of Gilga Radio. Elsewhere in the live stream, Glover also announced he has plans for Childish Gambino's New World Tour. No exact dates or locations have been announced. I'm Rebecca Hughes.
This is VNN, the Virginia News Network.
It is 26 minutes before 1 o'clock. You're listening to Noon Hour Magazine here on Allegheny Mountain Radio. Pocahontas County Vietnam Veterans of America will hold a meeting at the McClintock Library. That's coming up tomorrow evening at 7 p.m. Pocahontas County Solid Waste Authority regular meeting also tomorrow evening, 7 p.m. at the courthouse in Marlinton. The Board of Zoning Appeals meeting is scheduled for Thursday at 5:30 p.m. at the Highland County Modular Conference Center. That's located at 89 Highland Center Drive in Monterey. Highland County Public Schools Special Education Advisory Committee will meet Thursday at 6:30 p.m. in the high school library, and the April Planning Commission meeting is scheduled for Thursday at 7:30 p.m. at the Highland County Modular Conference Center in Monterey.
I wanna wish you a happy birthday. I wanna help you celebrate.
We want to wish a very happy birthday today to Lori Christ in Dunmore, celebrating a local birthday today. Happy birthday, Lori. She's sharing her birthday with poet and playwright William Shakespeare, 15th U.S. President James Buchanan, actress Shirley Temple, rock musician Roy Orbison, wrestler and actor John Cena, comedian John Oliver, from the show Last Week with John Oliver.
Even Adam had a garden.
You're listening to Nina Simone, the High Priestess of Soul, and you're on the Soundbeat.
Your boy says, pardon, miss, my name is Snake.
This song, Forbidden Fruit, is from the same titled album, released by Colpix in 1961. While it features the call and response found in styles such as gospel, jazz, and the blues, Simone didn't like to define her music in that way. Jazz is a white term to define black people, she said. My music is black classical music. Simone's love for the music of Bach inspired her to become a classical pianist at a young age. We're glad she made the switch.
Ever since the days of Eden,
folks been simple minded. Nowadays they're even eating apples in their pie. Go on.
Check us out on Facebook. Follow and or tweet to us at On the Soundbeat, or listen to more episodes right now at soundbeat.org. Soundbeat is produced at the Belfer Audio Archive, Syracuse University Libraries. I'm Brett Berry.
I bet you be delighted. Now you're gonna get it.
This is Tom Stanley, Extension Agent for Farm Business Management, with this week's Town and Country. Today's radio feature is specifically for our listeners on the Virginia side of the mountains who operate vehicles with farm use tags. Farm use tags are intended to allow part-time and full-time farmers to operate vehicles on and between their farm properties to avoid the annual registration fees and some other costs of operating a conventional over-the-road vehicle. Operation of vehicles tagged farm use on the public roads is allowed in the state of Virginia with restrictions outlined in the state code. For years, many non-farming citizens have been applying farm use tags to their vehicles to avoid registration and other fees required for over-the-road vehicles. New laws enacted July 1, 2023 are intended to crack down on the tagging of non-farm vehicles with farm use tags. The legislation called for the period from July 1, 2023 to June 30, 2024 to be an enforcement-free transition period, giving people time to come into compliance with the new law. And June 30th is quickly approaching, and people utilizing farm use tags on any of their vehicles need to be sure they comply. Farm use tags can be used on the following vehicles: pickup trucks or panel trucks, sport utility vehicles, trailers and semi-trailers, and any vehicle with a gross vehicle weight rating of greater than 7,500 pounds. The vehicle's gross vehicle weight rating can typically be found on a label permanently affixed to the inside surface of the driver's side door. Farm use tags can no longer be legally applied to cars. Interestingly, there appears to be no clear wording in the Virginia Code that distinguishes a car from a sport utility vehicle. So anyone applying a farm use tag to a light vehicle other than a pickup truck needs to be prepared to prove that their vehicle is a sport utility vehicle. Anyone operating a vehicle with a gross vehicle weight rating of over 7,500 pounds or any trailer or semi-trailer can continue to identify that equipment with the traditional red and white farm use tags. The significant change is necessary for Virginia farm use vehicles with a gross vehicle weight rating of 7,500 pounds or less. For these lighter vehicles, the farm operator needs to complete a one-time registration process and pay a one-time $15 fee with the Virginia Division of Motor Vehicles. Some of the typical farm use vehicles that fall into this category will include the Chevy S10, the Ford Ranger, the Ford Explorer, some Dodge Dakota models, and some Ford F-150 models. The DMV will issue to the applicant a metal farm use plate, and the appropriate use of such vehicles is outlined in the Virginia Code. The new farm use plates are non-transferable. Any owner or lessee of a farm use vehicle shall return the metal farm use plate to the DMV within 30 days of the vehicle ceasing to be used for one or more of the exempt purposes. The application process of these lighter weight vehicles requires the applicant to report the approximate location and acreage on each farm for which the exemption is claimed and the type of agricultural commodities, poultry, dairy products, or livestock produced on such farms. The vehicle's owner or lessee must also sign a statement attesting that the vehicle shall only be used for one or more of the exempt purposes, and the vehicle is insured in the state of Virginia. It's important to note that vehicles required to display the new farm use plates will be reported to the local commissioner of revenues as a vehicle for business use. As a result, these vehicles in many Virginia counties will be treated as business-use vehicles. They are likely subject to the personal property tax, and they will not receive the 35% car tax relief deduction that is applied to vehicles for personal use. So it's likely that the farm operator with a lighter weight farm use tagged vehicle will have to pay a higher personal property tax than what they traditionally have. For more information on Virginia farm use vehicles, contact the extension offices in either Highland or Bath County. For this week's Town and Country, this has been Tom Stanley, Extension Agent for Farm Business Management, wishing you a safe and productive spring.
Support for Town and Country Topics comes from the Highland Bath Farm Bureau, which assists farming and agriculture through education, lobbying, and advocacy. Their office is located at 94 West Main Street in Monterey, and their phone number is 540-468-2605.
Here's today's edition of Health in a Heartbeat. You've likely heard of the plague from your high school history book. The bacterium is most known for killing millions of people in Europe in the mid-1300s. But did you know that the plague still circulates today? In February, a woman in Oregon contracted the plague from her cat. While the cat died, the woman recovered. Your pets can contract the plague by eating infected rodents. Fleas can also spread the plague after biting animals that carry the disease. People can only contract the plague through contact with an infected animal. The bubonic plague is the most common form. The Centers for Disease Control and Prevention says key symptoms include a swollen lymph node, usually in the groin, armpit, or neck, as well as fever, chills, headaches, and extreme exhaustion. The CDC says there's about 7 human cases of the plague each year in the United States, mostly in Arizona, Colorado, New Mexico, and Utah. To protect you and your family, the CDC recommends eliminating nesting places for rodents around your home, shed, garage, and other areas by removing brush, rock piles, trash, and excess firewood. Avoid touching dead animals and consider having pets sleep somewhere other than your bed, which can increase the likelihood of infection. Ultimately, experts are confident that there will not be another plague outbreak like that of the Middle Ages. The disease cannot be directly transmitted human to human, and modern antibiotics are an effective treatment. So while the risk of ending up with the plague is minuscule, spend a little time on cleanup around the house, and let's leave this antiquated illness in the past. Health in a Heartbeat is produced by University of Florida Health, committed to advancing excellence in patient care, research, and education, and by WUFTFM. Our medical advisors include University of Florida College of Medicine faculty members who provide the latest information in health research and patient care. Visit us at heartbeatradio.org.
The Bluegrass Valley Bank, with offices in Monterey and Bluegrass, Virginia, is a business supporter of Allegheny Mountain Radio. The Bluegrass Valley Bank has been serving our communities for over 100 years. The bank offers a wide variety of products and services, including a 24-hour ATM in Monterey and mobile banking. For more information, bluegrassvalleybank.com.
Forever chemicals in water. I'm Randy Simon, and this is Earthwise, a look at our changing environment. So-called forever chemicals are pervasive in a wide range of products. These are man-made substances called per- and polyfluoroalkyls, or PFAS. They get their unfortunate nickname because the chemical bonds in them are so strong that the compounds don't break down for hundreds or even thousands of years. PFAS compounds are used in makeup, dental floss, nonstick pans, food wrappers, pesticides, stain-resistant fabrics and carpets, firefighting foams, and more. High-level exposure to some of these chemicals has been linked to a variety of health problems, including high cholesterol, liver and immune system damage, pregnancy problems, and kidney and testicular cancer. A recent study published in the journal Nature Geoscience has found that PFAS chemicals are showing up in water around the world. The study looked at more than 45,000 water samples and found that about 31% of groundwater tested that wasn't even near any obvious source of PFAS contamination had levels of the chemicals that are considered harmful to human health by the EPA. About 16% of surface water samples, streams, rivers, ponds, and lakes, also not near any known source, had similar hazardous PFAS levels. The EPA has now imposed strict new drinking water limits for six types of PFAS. Going forward, water systems are required to monitor for these chemicals and remove them if they are found above allowable levels. The new rules make the United States one of the strictest countries in the world in terms of regulating PFAS in water. For more information on this and other environmental news, visit earthwiseradio.org. Earthwise is a production of WAMC. Find us on social media at WAMC Radio and listen anytime at WAMCpodcasts.org.
Sunny skies today in our forecast, highs in the 60s, southwest winds at 10 to 15 miles per hour. Partly to mostly cloudy tonight, a chance of showers after midnight, and lows in the 40s to around 50. A chance of morning showers tomorrow, then mostly sunny, highs mid-50s to the mid-60s. Clear tomorrow night with lows in the low 30s to around 40. Sunny skies on Thursday with highs in the upper 50s to the low 60s. Partly cloudy Thursday night, lows in the upper 30s to the low 40s. We're going to have another listen to our local news stories.
On Thursday, April the 18th, the Pocahontas County Commissioners met with Tim Keaton, the National Flood Insurance Coordinator for West Virginia, Betsy Ransom from FEMA, several representatives of the State Emergency Management Agency, two West Virginia University GIS specialists, and with the county's, Durbin's, and Marlinton's floodplain coordinators to discuss the new FEMA floodplain maps for the county. Keaton explained that FEMA's new flood maps for Pocahontas County have just been released in preliminary form. He said that for now the maps are just advisory. He said that they can be seen on the West Virginia Flood Map tool at www.mapwv.gov. They can also be found on the FEMA website, which is www.fema.gov. There is currently a 90-day appeal period. Then, 6 months after that ends, the maps will become official. He said the new maps have been under development for many years and are much more accurate than the old maps were. This is because LIDAR mapping from the aircraft was utilized to determine the exact elevation of the surface of the land. Keaton said the old maps used highway maps containing 20-foot elevation contours, and those were not nearly as accurate as the radar-based LIDAR mapping is. Keaton said the new maps show expanded floodplain and floodway areas in the county. As a result, a much larger portion of Marlinton as well as of other parts of the county are now in a floodplain or floodway. The areas in a floodway are more dangerous than those simply in a floodplain. He said new construction is very restricted in a floodway, while construction in a floodplain, while difficult, is still possible. They said that the owner of a building in a floodplain should purchase national flood insurance. But if there is a mortgage on their structure, the flood insurance is required by most lenders. He also warned that if your home is mortgaged and the new flood maps now place it in a floodplain when it was not there before, your mortgage company will likely require that you purchase flood insurance. Without flood insurance, Keaton explained, if your home is damaged in a flood, you could receive a very limited amount of disaster relief from FEMA, an average of about $4,000. But if it floods a second time, you won't be eligible for any more disaster relief funds. If a structure is covered by flood insurance, there is an average flood damage reimbursement of $19,000 for each flood damage occurrence. They said that the new maps show that about 200 structures in Pocahontas County have been moved into the floodplains and about the same number have been moved out of floodplains. The new maps show that there are about 900 structures in the county that are in floodplains, but only 190 of them are covered by flood insurance. They said that the floodplain slash floodway areas in Marlinton and elsewhere in the county have increased in size. Part of the reason for that is the increased accuracy of the flood mapping techniques used, but also because people have illegally elevated their structures by adding fill, which increases the size of the floodplain and the amount of flood damage experienced by other properties in the area. They said FEMA in the near future will be cracking down on these fill-elevated properties that were built up on fill without proper permits. Keaton also said there are flood mitigation grants available to homeowners who wish to legally increase the elevation of their houses by raising them up on piers. The presenters also said that Marlinton is in the top 10% of all flood risk areas in West Virginia. Tim Walker, Allegheny Mountain Radio News.
Allegheny Mountain Radio has a lot of new faces, and we wanted to take a bit of time to introduce you to some. Here's our new morning show host to tell us a little bit about himself.
I'm Heath Chambers. I'm host of the All Over the Road radio show. I do mornings here on Allegheny Mountain Radio. Lived in Highland County here for the past 5 years. Love everything outdoors. Love to hike, bike, run, paddle, anything related to the water. Love to snow ski. Just everything that our area has to offer. I hail from Texas, originally born and raised north of Dallas-Fort Worth, small farm and ranch community, and had an opportunity to move out here to Highland County with my family 5 years ago and had never lived more than an hour away from my hometown all my life. And honestly, a trip to Costa Rica for a month kind of made me reevaluate priorities. And so this was a way to have some built-in family time because, hey, it was just us out in the woods there for a couple of years. I always tell people that every time Britt and I move, we get more stars. That's been the case since we were newlyweds in Dallas-Fort Worth area, moved to the suburbs, moved to my hometown, which was out in the country. That wasn't enough, so we had to go, 10 miles outside of my hometown, and each time, more stars at night. And whenever we moved out here to Highland County, I really questioned whether it would be possible to get any more stars than we have when we look up out here.
I asked him how he got his start in radio, how it feels to get up so early in the morning, and what it feels like to work for such a community-focused organization.
Well, I've sat in with my son Cash quite a few times over the past couple of years. He's had his own show on Allegheny Mountain Radio since he was 14. So it's always been fascinating watching him run the board and do all of the behind-the-scenes stuff. And I've filled in a few times just when folks were out, and things just kind of worked out. So the opportunity came up. I wasn't doing anything at 5 a.m., so I was available. But yeah, it's been a good time. This has really changed my whole day and night scene. I'm a night owl, but no longer. I'm a coffee all day guy. No longer. I'm cutting off my caffeinated coffee at noon these days. I'm drinking decaf, for God's sakes. You know, one thing that makes Allegheny Mountain Radio different from other radio stations is that it really is a community radio station, and due to how rural we are, you know, it's the only news source for some of our residents. Some folks are only getting current events from Allegheny Mountain Radio, so from just community happenings and going on, national news even, and that's the conduit. So that's what makes it a little different and kind of cool. And then all of the volunteer involvement is also really neat. You've got many people who put in hours and hours every week to keep this thing going, just out of the, you know, the love and support for what they're trying to do here at Allegheny Mountain Radio.
As a volunteer first, I asked Heath what credentials it took to help at the radio station, and if he had a background in radio or broadcast journalism before.
No background. I mean, I've got a BA and BS, and I think that can go a long way. You know, a lot of work in on the fly here. It's live, guys. I mean,
you can hear Heath from 6 a.m. to 10 a.m. every weekday morning here on Allegheny Mountain Radio on the All Over the Road radio show. For AMR News, I'm Britt Chambers.
And a great profile there from Britt on Heath. It is about 3 minutes before the top of the hour, so let's look at some other things coming up in our listening area. The Highland County Recycling Trailer is going to be at the Stonewall Ruritan Building Friday through Sunday. Windy Cove Presbyterian Church kicks off their 275th anniversary celebration. That's this Friday at 6:30 p.m. at the church with a piano viola concert featuring musicians from Garth Newell. All are welcome and a reception will follow the concert. The Great Greenbrier River Race is coming up Saturday beginning at 11 a.m. on Main Street in Marlinton. Zuzu's Hot Five brings traditional 1920s jazz to the Pocahontas Opera House Saturday night. That starts at 7:30 p.m. There's a fee for those over 17. More information at PocahontasOperaHouse.org. And the Highlands Community Orchestra will present their spring concert Sunday afternoon, 3 p.m. at the Highlands Center in Monterey. Everyone is welcome. Pocahontas County High School Career Day is Monday, noon to 3 p.m. in the school's gym. You can get more information about that at 304-799-6564. And Highland Elementary School's kindergarten registrations coming up on Monday, May 20th from 6:30 to 7:30 p.m. at the Highland Elementary School. More information at 540-468-6360. Your child's birth certificate should be brought to the registration process. Sunny today with highs in the 60s, partly to mostly cloudy this evening and with a chance of showers after midnight, and lows in the 40s to around 50. You've been listening to Noon Hour Magazine here on Allegheny Mountain Radio, WVMR Frost, West Virginia, WVLS Monterey, Virginia, WCHG Hot Springs, Virginia, WVMR FM Hillsboro, West Virginia, WNMP Marlinton, West Virginia, WDMT Marlinton, West Virginia, W278AL Durban, West Virginia, and online at AlleghenyMountainRadio.org. We got Big John and JoJo coming up next with Cruisin', bringing you music from the 50s, 60s, and 70s. It's 1 o'clock.